need a three. Sexton works on Irving, trying to get loose. He'll fire. He knocks it down. Osmond steps into a long-distance jumper. Allen to the bucket. He crushes it home.
Off to Garland for three. He knocks it down.
Drummond toward Valanciunas. Finds a cutter in Okoro, and Okoro thunders it home.
By Kyrie. Sexton got it back. Nance for the tie. He knocks it down. Love hands it off the Sexton feed. By seven.
And Cleveland, this is for you.
Hey, Chris Manning here from Locked On Cavs. Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Check out rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. All right, here as always with my partner in crime, the one and only Evan Damerl. Evan, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Not a whole lot. I got Scout with Brian banned from Twitter, I guess. So it's been an eventful weekend for me. I'm kind of tired, but ready to get things going. It's Sunday's loss was, it was a fun game, so I can't complain too much. But Saturday, I had a few things going on that evening, and then I really pieced it together after the fact. And boy, oh boy, was that certainly a game for the Cavs.
That game was brutal. So today's show, we're going to talk about Cavs Pelicans, Cavs Raptors, and then we're going to talk about some injuries and sort of where things are at with the team in that regard, because injuries are still a real concern there.
They are an issue for sure.
Yeah, so Evan, let's just start with the Pelicans game, because we're going to, that's the one that people most recently watched. That is the game that was much more entertaining. Cleveland loses 116-109, led for most of the way, led by 10 after one. And then was outscored in the final three quarters, really got drunk, kind of beat up in the fourth, 26-15. It felt like ultimately just the talent of Zion kind of won out for New Orleans more than anything else. I mean, like, Eric Bledsoe was absolutely awful for them in this game. In Cleveland, obviously, without Darius Garland, without Colin Sexton due to injury, so their starting lineup was Dele, Okoro, Dean Wade at the three, Kevin Love and Isaiah Hartenstein, and then they went 11 deep on the bench with Jetty Osmond coming out of, I think most notably, Jetty Osmond coming out of his, you know, wherever he's at, and scoring 15 in 29 minutes on 7 of 11 shooting and had 7 assists, really doing some backup point guard stuff for Cleveland. So, Evan, let's dive into our awards. Who's your MVP for this one?
My MVP for this game is Isaac Okoro. He had a very good game, honestly, especially all things considered offensively, how he's been during his rookie year. 19 points on 6 of 10 shooting, 2 of 4 from 3, 5 of 5 from the line, which is a big one for me because he's not a great free throw shooter this season. 3 boards, 3 assists, 1 steal, plenty of good defense all throughout the game. Like, just a good game overall for Isaac. And just, you know, having the spacing of Dean Wade and Kevin Love, who were certainly trigger happy. They were 22 of Cleveland's 43s on the night. Certainly helps a lot too. I think that spacing really does allow Isaac to operate, and I think also having a true point guard in Dellavedova helps a lot too. Surprisingly enough, this was a really good ecosystem to help Isaac kind of thrive a little bit, so this was a good game for him.
Yeah, I gotta go Dean Wade here, because Dean Wade had
my other pick, so
had himself a game, career high 21 points. Isaac's I don't know if you said this, was a career high as well with 19 for him.
Did not, but thank you for bringing that up.
Dean Wade, Evan, that's why I'm here. You know,
thank you.
I'm just here to somehow I've become the positive one of us, which is funny. But Dean Wade, 21 points, 6 rebounds, 5 of 8 from 3, 8 of 12 from the field, 3 steals as well. He's actually had like some okay defensive moments of late. Like, I think he's at least like scrapping on that end of the floor. And look, this is not an optimal position for him. It is very funny to me that, like, it's because of how the ESPN box score works, but like, he's listed as a power forward, but he's really was playing the three in this game for large chunks of it. Played really well, and I think he's established himself very clearly as something. I don't know like what his ceiling is. I don't really care at this point. Like,
I mean,
right now,
the Cavs have the white Kevin Durant. Simply put, he's a very tall, small forward that can just stroke it from beyond the arc. So,
okay,
there you go, folks. We got it.
Okay. Anyway, he looks like worth keeping around and keeping an eye on. Like, I think
absolutely.
He's,
especially with none of the guarantees on his contract. Like, this is a really good deal for the Cavs.
Yeah, tough look for him because he probably could get a little like squeezed. Maybe not this year, but like after next year, squeeze him whenever that. Alas, really good game for Dean Wade. And I think you continue to really like what you're seeing from him. I also just want to shout him out just because, I just want to say this is the best game Jetty Osmond has maybe played all season. And if he plays like that, make him part of the rotation. If he can be like your kind of fake backup point guard, like that's a really good use of that player. But
it's weird to call Jetty Osmond a backup point, but it's only weird when it doesn't work, and in limited bursts it does work for the Cavs.
I will die in the hill that like that is what his optimal role sort of is, and either he doesn't think that's what he is, or the team doesn't think that's what he is, or whatever. But I believe wholeheartedly like that has always sort of been like what his optimal role is, like a hybrid wing backup guard type, like Dante Exum with like worse defense but maybe better shooting or whatever. But Evan, stat of the night. I think for me it's pretty clearly this little breakdown of three-point shooting. This is from our friend Danny Cunningham, who just joined us at Fear the Sword. Yeah, it's just a great dude. But Kevin Love and Dean Wade, 10 of 22 from three, those two guys combined. The rest of the team only made 3 three-pointers. That's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I pointed that out with the statistics in terms of spacing for Isaac, but that's not ideal. But at the same time, the Cavs are taking way more threes than they were before Kevin Love was back, so you kind of got to take these small victories where you can. The Cavs looking a little bit more like a modern offense to an extent, because credit where credit's due to you, Chris. You said the Cavs organically will attempt more threes at Kevin Love on the floor. Didn't know they would do the same with Dean Wade, but that is an interesting stat for sure.
I was going through like some old clips today, just kind of thinking about like what I've wrote this season, because I'm trying to challenge myself to write more and stuff. Check out my notebooks on Friday, please do. But
yeah, please do. They're really good. I enjoy editing them.
I sort of am like mad at the world, because not really, but like it's hilarious to me that I wrote that Kevin Love thing, and it's still just like the thing that I feel is most true about this Cavs team.
That's true. When he said mad at the world, I was waiting for you to follow up with saying we do live in a society. So,
well, I did. We're not going to talk about Tottenham. Anyway, Evan, continue.
My stat of the night is the fact that Kevin Love passed Mark Price for second all-time and made three-pointers. He's behind LeBron James, which, you know, LeBron's got a lot of them records. So it's nice to see Kevin get that stat. And he's having himself a pretty okay start to his second half of the season, and pretty much what we're getting to see with Kevin Love. And maybe his agent got in his ear and said, all right, play the team player, go out there and boost your value however you can, and maybe the Cavs can maybe turn him into a flippable asset if he keeps this up. But no, it's just nice to see him have a franchise record that probably nobody will pass anytime soon.
Yeah, salute to Kev there. All right, Evan, so play of the night, what's it for you?
Well, there were a few fun plays, but one that actually made me fist pump, and like I said, it's fun to think as Jetty Osmond is possibly like a backup point for this Cavs team if he does happen to stick long term, is Jetty kicked it to Dean Wade in the corner to take, and Dean Wade took and made a three to take a 102-101 lead. It was just a nice play. Like, I don't know, it's just nice to see the Cavs run some competent basic offensive sets. Like, don't get too fancy with it. If it's simple, just keep riding with it if it works. And it's just something that pleased me. Like I said, I'm a simple man. If I see something good, I'm going to give it a shout out. And that was a good read by Jetty, and he hit the open man, and also probably the hottest shooter for the Cavs that tonight.
Okay, so here I have two plays that I think I'm going to shout out here. Number one,
you took the one I originally had picked, so it's fine.
Number one is just every time Kevin Love manipulated Zion Williamson as a pick and pop threat.
No, like that's a good thing. Zion is not good defensively.
No, he's not good defensively.
And like, shouts to Mason Ginsburg. If I mispronounced your name. We just became acquaintances today because of the SWB news. But I said like, listen, win or lose, you can't really take too much fault in this Cavs game. Like, they played hard. This is a total team effort. Blah blah blah. A bunch of positive superlatives. He's like, the Pelicans, meanwhile, like, yeah, there's a lot of concerning things with this New Orleans team. Like, I hate how they're constructed, and Zion not playing defense isn't good. So, especially considering, like, coming out of college, people thought he was going to be like a can't-miss defensive prospect. It's kind of interesting to watch. And like you said, he got bullied by Kevin Love quite a bit tonight.
How many first-round picks would you need to take on the Eric Bledsoe contract?
Oh, quite a bit. That was a question I was going to ask you. I think Eric Bledsoe's contract may be one of, if not the worst contract in the league, because Jesus Christ. Yeah, he can play defense and he can move the rock a little bit, but he cannot shoot. And watching, like, I know Drew has like a pretty unconventional 3-point shot with Milwaukee, but like at least he can make threes. Like, I feel comfortable watching Holiday take threes in Milwaukee than I ever did with Bledsoe. That's why I might sip a little bit of that Milwaukee Kool-Aid come playoff time again, especially if Ty Windish gets on here and sells me snake oil again. But it had to be at least two or three firsts. I could not for just one. Like, it's a lengthy contract. I know Cavs fans have kicked the idea of maybe like trading for Bledsoe. Like, I've seen that in some circles, but it had to be at least two or three threes for me to first, I should say, to take on Bledsoe's contract.
Yeah, and then the other play is just that quick Isaac pass to Dele cutting.
Yeah, that was a good one, too. I think Isaac is showing that he is what he was built coming out of college. Like, his handle's pretty, it's not pretty sloppy, but it's not the tightest. He can move the rock. He is a streaky shooter, but he is improved, at least from his time at Auburn. He is as defensively suggested that as good as he's going to be like he was at Auburn, but that was just a good play. Like I said, this was a good night overall for Isaac, and he did it in like less than 30 minutes played, which is even crazier to me.
Yes, pretty good player. All right, Evan, let's take a break here. We got some bills to pay here. First, we want to tell everyone about our friends at Indeed, a new sponsor here of the network.
Indeed it is.
Indeed is the job site that makes hiring easy as 1, 2, 3, post, screen, and interview, all on Indeed. Get your quality short list of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. Only pay for the candidates that meet the must-have qualifications, and schedule and complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. Indeed makes connecting with and hiring the right talent fast and easy, with tools like Indeed Instant Match giving you quality candidates whose resume on Indeed fit your description immediately. And there's also Indeed Skills Tests that on average reduce hiring time by 27%. You can choose from more than 130 skill tests or add your own, and then add your must-have requirements only. You only pay for the applications that meet them. If you're hiring, you need Indeed. Get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/locked. Again, get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/locked. Indeed.com/locked. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply. Also want to tell you about our friends at Built Bar. So, Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. Cookies and cream, caramel brownie, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, and a whole bunch more are just some of the great flavors. They're soft, easy to chew, covered in 100% chocolate. They can help you lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Evan, I'm getting my second dose tomorrow, and I'm going to bring one with me and eat it.
Yeah, it's actually a good call. I think, I'm not going to say Built Bar helps you with coronavirus at all, but it is a good snack, especially when you need to get through the doldrums of the vaccine.
Yeah, I'm going to be like sitting there. I got 15 minutes. I got to wait at the Wolstein Center, and I'm going to like probably eat like a cookie dough one, you know?
You need it when you get back to your car, you mean, because you can't take your mask off in public, you silly Billy.
Oh, that's true. Tough look for me there. But go to BuiltBar.com and get a free code of purchase. That is while supplies last. Then go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15. Again, LOCKED15. You get 50% off your next order. Again, promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com.
Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Pete Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Probably the same place you find Locked On Cavs.
Okay, Evan, let's talk about this Raptors game. So
it was ugly.
So what's your just take on this? Because I understand if you're watching this and you like felt like you wasted a bunch of time. Like that's I get that. But what do you feel about that game? What do you feel about it? Because I honestly didn't really have like a strong like, this is the sky is burning. I was just like, you know what? Like this is a young team. This happened. That's kind of just my vibe.
Yeah, I think you got to keep level headed on this. The Cavs just kind of got caught at a bad time. Like, let's be frank. Gary Trent Jr. didn't catch on fire yet, but DeAndre Bembry started out the game 4-4 for 11 points. The Toronto outscored Cleveland 47-26, and that just kind of set the tone early. And I think a young and inexperienced team getting caught by a team that is well coached by Nick Nurse team is always going to be well coached, especially on defense, but they are a strong offensive team too. And then it was a bit of a snowball effect. I think Gary Trent really started going off in the second quarter, if I'm correct. Yeah, he was 8-9, 4-5 from three. He had 20 points. So it's all just kind of downhill from there. And the Cavs kind of licked their wounds. They won the third quarter battle. They barely lost the fourth quarter battle. So the Cavs fought back at the second half. This was just a bewildering game. I think the Cavs just kind of got blindsided in the second quarter, and mercifully it did eventually end, and they did battle back, so it's not like the end of the world. We can't act like Rome is burning or like this, the sky's falling. We can't be... I know I'm a little dramatic sometimes when it comes to this Cavs team, but I quietly watch this game. I put the trolling aside for the night when it kind of got really ugly in the first, and then when it got really ugly in the second, I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to put my phone down and watch this game and take some notes. And then I also watched it with a clear head today. I watched it again, and it was just not a good game. And like you said, it's a young team, and sometimes I talked about this when I went on 92.3 The Fan today. We're recording this on Sunday, and it's like, what was your biggest takeaway? I'm just like, or going into the Pelicans game, I'm like, well, I think this Cavs team, at least with JB, has too much pride to lay down twice. And I think we saw a little bit of that against the Pelicans. Like, this Cavs team was down Sexton, Garland, Allen, Nance, and then Windler as well. And then I know Damian Dotson also wasn't available due to a knee problem, even though he dressed for the game. But the Cavs fought, and you got to give credit where credit's due. Like, they could have easily laid down to the Pelicans and not fought back like they did in the second half against the Raptors. Like, there's a little bit of grit to this Cavs team, and I know it's a cliche because it's a Cleveland team, but you respect it a little bit.
Yeah, so I think about this, and I'm just like, look, the quotes that they had were clearly very... funny. I think the writing about it got a little dramatic in spots, like, you know, like, chill, like, this yeah. happens, you know, like, let's just relax a little bit.
Like I said, Rome is burning on purpose, because there is a certain Cavs beat writer who doesn't cover the team anymore, but said Rome was burning when things look bad for the Cavs once. So people, I don't know, Cleveland fans dealing hyperbole.
Chestnut checkers, my good sir. But, like, look, they got their asses kicked, and that's going to happen. Like, you have a team that is young, that is probably feeling itself a little bit, kind of coming off a decent string of good play, at least by their standards, and then you get your ass kicked. Like, that is just going to happen, right? Like, it speaks well to JB that he's able to not have them put forth two dog crap performances back-to-back, right?
Speaks to JB he didn't pull a John Boeheim and, like, was inconsolable at halftime. He handled it like an adult, and he apparently leaned on the team and said, like, okay, we're going to figure this out together. This just isn't a coaching thing. This is a team effort. So he opened the floor to his players, which, I don't know, maybe it worked a little bit.
Yeah, like, I think that's all there. And again, like, I just think when you're a younger team, when you're sort of figuring this stuff out, when you haven't, like, got the rhythms of an NBA season sort of down, like, this is going to happen. Look, it can happen to really good teams, too. Like, the Denver Nuggets might very well win the NBA championship this year. Like, Nikola Jokic is the MVP, and they just, like, choked up a game against the Celtics on Sunday.
Yeah.
Like, this happens.
It really does, and it's not the end of the world either. Like... Yeah, if the Cavs won, they think they would have been a game within the play-in spot, which does suck, but I still think, I don't know, there's plenty of games left, and, like, there's some easier opponents coming up, too. Like, this, I know the Raptors record-wise aren't good, but I think the Raptors are still a talented team as well, so it's not like they're abhorrently bad, you know? I don't know. It's just like, I'm not sweating too much. Like, actually, I do have plays picked out. I have MVPs. I have awards. I have everything picked out for this game. Like, there was stuff to glean positives from. It's just the Cavs got their ass kicked. There's no other way to spin it.
Yeah, and just, do you want to shout out on anything specific?
That Darius Garland no-look pass that led to a layup was just a really slick play, and like I said, simple man. I enjoy flashy stuff like that every now and then, so that was fun. But, like, that the Cavs took 34 threes. I will be very pleased the more three-pointers they take, because it just shows they're trending in the direction of a modern team.
Yeah, Kevin Love took 14 on Sunday. I just wanted to know, because we should have noted this in the first segment, and this is just bad podcasting on my part, but Kevin Love played this back-to-back, and he played 31 minutes on Sunday, and he played 21 on Saturday. It's a good indicator if he was playing 31 minutes, which I'm pretty sure... would be the highest he's played since he's come back the second time.
I believe so.
So that's a good sign. If you're thinking about Kevin Love, that's a good indicator that maybe he's feeling all right. And yes, they're a little thin, but, like, they could have, you know, played him much smaller or whatever. Or, you know, Damian Dotson didn't play in this one, for instance. But, like, Kevin Love playing 31 minutes is a good sign.
Yeah, it is. Part of me wishes maybe we did do post-game. Just ask JB, was this more of a, did you throw the minutes restriction out the window a little bit? Is Kevin feeling better, or is it kind of out of necessity where you had to do this? So,
yes, I think we both need to get back into wanting to do Zooms. I think we just got frustrated, to be transparent with the listeners.
Frustrated and just, I don't know.
Tired?
Tired. Tired's a good way to put it. Just, yeah, always tired.
And just as a note, just I want to know people and where standings are. So again, we're recording this at 9:52 p.m. on Sunday, April 11th. So if you hear this and something has changed on Tankathon, like Toronto loses, this will change this a little bit. But here's the draft order as it stands right now. I'm going to go through the top nine because Sacramento's in there. And is where this. Wolves are the worst team in the league. Houston is a game back of them. Detroit is 3 back of the worst record. Orlando is 4 back of the worst record. Cleveland is 6 back. Washington is 6.5 back. The Thunder is 7 back. The Raptors are 8 back, and they'll probably be 7.5 back, assuming they end up losing to the Knicks. And the Kings are 9 back, and they do not play on Sunday night. And the Wolves are actually about to – they're up by 6 against the Bulls right now. And so they maybe could win that game, and then like Houston's only like a half game.
The Seattle Timberwolves. I winked to the camera when I said that.
Look,
people can't tell.
I talked about that a little bit on Locked In NBA, so go check that out as well. I did a little podcast at Evan. We're growing the brand here, doing hits, but this is going to be congested. I still like the lottery odds are what they are. I think for anyone's mental health, stop going on Tankathon every day and doing like 5 sims until you get the first pick or whatever. But I still maintain that they're gonna end up in this like weird 7 range.
You think 1?
Oh my god.
3-1. So there you go, folks. 7-7-1-3-1. That's the magic number for the day. Go put it on a lottery odds or something. I don't know.
I did one spin. Here's what I got: Pistons first pick, Cavs second pick, yeah. Raptors third, Magic stayed 4, and then the Wolves fall to 5, and the Warriors get their pick.
Boy, it would be. I know quite a few listeners would be sick to their stomachs if Golden State got like the first pick and then Minnesota fell to 4 or 5 and they got the 4th pick. I'm kind of here for the chaos. Or like Houston falls to 5 or 6 and then Oklahoma City gets the pick.
Yeah, that's what happens in this. That Houston would. Yeah. Would you do 6 and 8 for 2?
Possibly. There is quite a fall off after 5. Maybe a player falls to 6 depending on. Or if you like Jalen Johnson. I don't know, man.
Anyway.
Whoever's doing the trading, I don't know. It's a weird time.
Anyway, tomorrow we'll have a show with Jackson Frank talking about Jalen Suggs and the draft a little bit, so stay tuned for that. But Evan, we got some more bills to pay. Why don't you tell everyone about our next great sponsor, BetOnline.
For sure. If you want to kind of bet on the Cavs or bet on some lottery odds, check out our friends at BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine, and they have you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So if you're interested, head to their website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, but only if you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, you'll get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, but only if you use the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts and the exclusive betting partner of the Locked On Podcast Network. Get more analysis on the top prospects available in this year's NBA Draft with the Locked On NBA Draft Podcast. Scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, and full coverage of March Madness 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Follow the Locked On NBA Draft Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, Evan, last segment here. Where do you want to tell the listeners what we're talking about, because I forgot.
I'm gonna spit one more time here. The Cavs got the 6th pick. Not ideal. Let's do it again. Oh, 5. Still not okay. 6. Still not ideal.
Being on Twitter is like at like 7 in the morning when you see people freaking out. This is what it's like. Just don't do it.
Yeah, with every Cavs win, I feel the light of God just fading further and further from me too, folks. Don't worry. I'm enamored with the top 3 in this draft, but also, I don't know. It's not a bad thing for the Cavs to try and be competitive. They're doing God's work. They're being an honest tanking team. They're not like the Oklahoma Cities and the Houstons and the I guess the Raptors the world too. But injuries. The injuries are kind of, I don't know. If the Cavs are fully healthy, this would be a really interesting and fun squad. Like, Dean Wade and Kevin Love has been a lot of fun together, but I really want to see Kevin Love and Jared Allen play together. I really want to see Larry Nance Jr. back out there, obviously fully healthy. I mean, Darius and Colin being scratches today, maybe it's some sneaky stealth tanking on the Cavs part, but Darius did get hurt against Toronto the night before, so the Cavs have to be cautious with that. It's just this Cavs team cannot catch a break when it comes to being healthy, and it's something I want to ask JB, like, how much of a struggle is it for him to coach when he can't consistently put together a lineup? Like, I don't know how many starting lineups the Cavs have used this year, but it's got to be close to the 30s at this point, don't you think?
This is available in Basketball Reference, so I'll look this up and tell you as we're talking here. But look, like, I think if you're this team, the injuries have obviously just been very daunting. I think there's some talk that maybe you see Jared and Larry on Wednesday. I think that's like kind of been put out there in the ether a little bit.
I think Jared makes sense. It's been about 2 weeks, I think, since he went into the concussion protocol. So, and the Cavs are on the side of cautions with most of these things. But Larry, I'll believe it when I see it. The guy lost 20 pounds and due to a non-COVID illness, and you don't want to rush him back because he's already, I don't want to say fragile, but he is fragile to an extent. So you don't want to get him hurt back out there if he's not 100% at playing weight. Like, ease him back into things a little bit.
Yeah, so here, 23 starting lineups. It started the year with Sexton, Garland, Okoro, Love, and Drummond. And we ended up tonight this will be 24 now, with Wade, Hartenstein, Love, Okoro, and Dele. So 24.
You know what's funnier than 24?
25.
You don't know this one. It's 25. You didn't watch SpongeBob as a kid. Chris Berman. But see, that's the worrisome thing. And like, it's great Kevin Love is healthy again. This really helps the Cavs out a lot, and I'll be a big proponent of Kevin Love being on this team, especially like tonight. Like I said, there was a lot of spacing with Dean Wade and Isaac, with both Dean Wade and Kevin out there. And even Darius has said, like, having the luxury of two stretch forwards in Love and Wade out there makes it easy for him to operate too. Like, it is so clear how much better this Cavs team looks offensively at times when there is spacing surrounding some of these key young pieces that you want to give the ball and have them operate and just work in every possible way. And I don't know, man. We'll probably see the 25th lineup, because I don't want to say it's a for sure thing, but my gut tells me that Jarrett will probably be back either Wednesday or Thursday. So at some point this week, we're going to see the 25th Cavs lineup, and that's just kind of bananas for me to think that the Cavs have gone through that many different pieces so far.
Yeah, look, and as a note on this, like, this is a point in the season where I think it's very clear that this is sort of where the Cavs season, if you're thinking, okay, they want to have a real shot at playing tournaments, like, this is sort of where you're kind of going with this, right? Like, you're trying to see, like, if this is the team that is going to actually make a real run at the play-in tournament and is going to be more of that than one of the worst teams in the league, then they have to succeed in April. They're going to have to overcome some injuries to do that, and that's just the task at hand here. Like, you have a bunch of winnable games the rest of this month, and then May becomes a absolute slaughterhouse of a schedule. We're not going to run through it. Just go look at it, and you'll be like, oh, like, this is pretty clear. And yes, the end of the season features, like, probably a Brooklyn team that, you know, might be taking the night off, and Orlando, I think they play right before the end of the year, but it's like, there's a lot of teams that are going to have something to play for in May. And yes, Cleveland will say it will too, but, like, they still might get slaughtered. And, like, even this week, like, the Warriors are still, like, they have Steph, and he's incredible, and that's going to be tough. But you look at Charlotte. Charlotte is, like, the fifth seed in the East right now.
Steph is so incredible that we need to get him out of Golden State. He's the next superstar that needs to be moved, folks. Like, I hate to say
it'd be hilarious when he plays with LeBron.
A poverty franchise like Golden State just cannot, especially with a general vibes coach and Steve Kerr, like, not an actual coach, like a Luke Walton coach at this point. Like, yeah, that's right. I'm pissing off Warriors fans now. You know, Steph would be fun in Charlotte or L.A., but God, Golden State is so weirdly constructed. And the James Wiseman news is a bummer, too.
Yeah, towards meniscus. Check out Locked On Warriors for that. But, the Cavs are playing the Hornets on Wednesday, and they're not going to have Hayward or LaMelo Ball. They're obviously, they just played, Miles Bridges just had the best dunk this side of Anthony Edwards on Yuta Watanabe. Dunk in that game, just murdering Clint Capella. I'm sure people saw that. I about just gasped out of my chair when I saw that. But Charlotte.
So you gasped so hard you stood up.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense. Wow, Evan, I'm tired.
Just teasing. I'm just teasing. I know you're tired.
Evan knows what I was doing for part of this game, and Anyway, so the Hornets, so they are, like, if you look at, like, their numbers, they're, like pretty close to even without, like, those two guys, like, 111.5 points per 100 possessions, giving up 111.8 per 100 possessions, like, very close to even there. Those are, like, above average defensive numbers, and then, like, just a shade below average offensive numbers. Throw the ball over a lot, like, then also do force a bunch of turnovers. Like, it's a very weird thing, but they're going to be a tough opponent, even if it's a winnable game. So, like, that's where we're headed with Cleveland, and they're going to have to overcome injuries. And I also just say, be cautious. Be Larry especially, but, like, you know, Darius, like, be cautious with the ankle, you know? Like, don't rush. This is, like, such a grind of a season that, like, I do not think we're going to know sort of, like, how guys really feel about how it all went down until we get to the end, and they can maybe be a little more honest about the ailments that have hit them throughout the year.
I think maybe they'll feel a little bit better once they're fully vaccinated and through that process. Well, maybe they can enjoy some components of normal life again.
Well, they got J&J, and then there's players that didn't get it. So we don't really know how that's going to work itself out.
We'll never know who did or didn't get it either, but also it's none of our business, quite frankly.
We also don't there wasn't, like, an MLB thing where it's, like, 85% of a locker
room. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, maybe it's not publicly out there, but I'm sure the NBA has, like, some protocol saying, like, okay, if you're vaccinated, like, I don't know. The NBA is pretty lenient on having guests in the hotel rooms to begin with. Like, the policies are kind of crazy to begin with. But
you mean the Instagram loophole?
Yeah, pretty much. It's just so fascinating, some stuff NBA players can get away with. I get it, man. But either way, no, the Cavs, like, I know people want to say, like, oh, this is a cupcake lineup for the Cavs. And, like, yeah, even I said it in my Forbes piece, like, in terms of strength of schedule, the Cavs play some pretty bad teams coming up. But they do play some, like you said, Charlotte and Golden State. Like, those are two okay-ish teams. I think Charlotte and Golden State are on par with one another, just especially if, like, you know, Steph is or isn't available. I could very well see him. And Andrew Wiggins could kill the Cavs on Thursday, too. What the hell do we know? It's going to be an interesting time. It's going to be a weird time, but kind of looking forward to see what happens next. It's going to be a fun time. Yeah. It's kind of like a mushroom. It'll be a fun guy.
And look, I just also would, again, state that I do think the Cavs have not shown to be, like, a consistent team. A lot of that is lineup stuff. A lot of that is just, like, the reality of kind of the season and stuff. But, like,
Larry tweeted 6 minutes ago the back emoji, then the soon emoji. So, folks, I think he's coming back this week.
Good for him. He was very eager to talk with Darren in the sidelines, but, like, I just think you're still at a position where, like, I don't think this team has proven to be, like, even, right? Like, they just haven't been. So
that's the point of the beginning of this segment, is they've never really had the opportunity to be even or even consistent, because injuries have just kind of, it's like one step forward, two steps back. Whenever this Cavs team gets hurt, they kind of take a step backwards from it too.
Yeah. All right.
It stinks, but it is what it is too. You can't, like, sit here and cry about it.
Evan, any final thoughts as we get out of here on this Sunday, April 11th, for our Monday show?
No, not too much. We have a fun lineup coming up. Like you said, you're hanging out with Jackson Frank. I got Justin Rowan coming on later this week. You and I will preview that back-to-back with Charlotte and Golden State probably for an episode as well. And then, you know, just follow us on Twitter at amnotevan or CWMWrites, or follow the account at LockedOnCavs. Again, do not trifle with me, because I am the band hammer that is Evan Damaro. But or just follow your heart. That's all I can say too. Chris, how about you?
Yeah, gonna be a fun week. The Jackson conversation was always a lot of fun. I love talking to him about Jalen Suggs and kind of putting him
on. He's a very smart draft man, that Jackson.
Yeah, well, and talking it through, the Jalen Green versus Jalen Suggs thing sort of became, like, a big thing of that podcast. So I hope people enjoy that. And we talked about Okoro, and, you know, you can check out, you can find Evan's appearance on 92.3 on the Odyssey app if you want to go check that out. You can find us on Locker Room on Wednesday for our lunch with Lockdown Cavs, and let us know. We'd really like to get more people coming to those. So if there is a time that people would say, hey, like, do this after work or something, like, we'll try some other stuff out, because we'd like to get more interaction with the listeners.
We're flexible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Locker Room sessions are fun. We just come on, shoot the shit with us. Just hang out, chat. Chris and I will just talk about anything. It doesn't even. We'll talk about the Cavs, of course, but we talked about James Harden and Trae Young for a lot of it too. Like, in our last session, it's just honest NBA discussions. Sean Coleman's always a regular guest. Locked On Grizzlies, great Sean Coleman. But it's always fun. Come hang out.
Yeah, we do all that, and then we'll be back again fully this week. WKYC as well, and a whole bunch of stuff brewing for the Cavs, diving into a bunch of stuff. It's going to be a busy couple months as always, but we'll be here covering it all the latest on the wine and gold. For myself, for Evan, thanks again for listening. Oh, and we're putting this down now into the universe because we got to remember to do it. Wednesday, we're going to read 2 5-star reviews, okay?
Oh,
we're going to read 2. Okay. We haven't done this in a while. We've been slacking. So if you haven't gone and left a 5-star rating and review for the show yet, go to Apple Podcasts and do it.
Yeah, let's do it too, baby. We'll see you guys soon.
Locked On Cavs is your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast covering the latest news, rumors, and game action from the Wine and Gold.
You can follow us on social at Locked On Cavs or give us a call and leave a voicemail, and we'll answer your questions live at 440-673-3605.
If you want to contact the show, email us at lockedoncavs@gmail.com. And if you want to support the show, the best way to do that is by going to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts and leaving us a 5-star rating and review. It's produced and hosted by Chris Manning and Evan Damrell.